the Tuesday morning show. I'm Heidi Holton along with John Latimer. We connect you to northern Minnesota. Today we're talking about season changes. Sap is running in some places. There is life and activity at the Sugarbush. David Manuel is on the board of directors at KAXE KBXE. He's the foods planner for the Red Lake Local Food Initiative. He brings good food to the people of Red Lake Nation. Today he's here to talk to us about this year's Sap Run and the Sugarbush. Bonjour, thanks so much for being here, David.
Good morning. Bonjour from the Red Lake Nation.
Thank you, David. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you. I'm really curious, the traditions and the whole phenology runs very deep in your culture. And I'm wondering, are there signs that you look for that tell you that you should be going to the Sugarbush? Are there other signs, not necessarily the tree or the temperature? Is there something you look for or listen for that says, now's the time?
I think I listen to the phenology show that you host to sharpen my skills in that way. But yeah, there are, you know, it's about our language. Our Ojibwe Mohan is actually full of references, and most of them are verbs relating to the seasonal changes and happenings and observations. It's the language is practically all verbs, and it's all about observation of what's going on around us. It was, and I think in every culture, it was integral to their survival and eking out a living out of their surroundings, no matter where they were. I'm trying to think right now. I'm so dependent on the Weather Channel, and I do have other indicators as well. The skunks are, yeah, I think, a real clear indicator. I also seen the male partridges kind of getting a little bit more active, and that was another indicator for me.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of, just other than, you know, kind of sensing the change in the warm up. You know, if I didn't have the Weather Channel, I would be paying close attention.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking this year, all of us would have been a little tricked in the fact that the Sap is running a bit early this year.
You know, I was looking at the article that Heidi forwarded to me of the interview that you had with Katie and some others at KAXE. And you mentioned last year's sap season, and my father-in-law, who is 92 years old and still gathering sap for syrup, last year it came on really early and was really good right away. And then, as you mentioned, there was almost a two-week span in the middle where there was nothing. And then bang, right, kind of mid-April, right before the frogs start to sing, you got another dose. And my father-in-law had the same experience over here in Grand Rapids. So it was a pretty unique year last year. Also a kind of an early start last year.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's another reminder that we're not in control. It's a whole set of other factors that we are reacting to, sometimes not as fast as we would like. I wanted my taps in actually last Monday, but I didn't get a start till this last Saturday. And beautiful weather. I will say that because of the lack of snow in the bush, it made it very easy to tap. I mean, I was gliding. I got a little winter insulation around the midsection, and it didn't inhibit my actions on the least.
I'm happy to hear that. You know, whenever something like that happens to me, I think back to years when the snow was thigh deep and you worked like a horse, and I think, okay, we're evening things out here. I'm getting paid back for all those years when I sweated blood and tears to get this sap to the boil.
Yeah, I kind of want to get into, you know, why I'm doing this. I mean, I'm doing it because I always, you know, I just love to do it. But now that I'm working, you know, for the Red Lake Nation, I work in the ag department. Board Directions Development and Economic Development and Planning are working together on a ANA grant. It's a 3-year grant, and we're developing our revitalizing our agriculture traditions. Sugar bush is one of them. I remember, you know, jobs are kind of scarce up here. We're addressing that. And I'm going to be addressing that later today. I'm going to be showing people how to do this, how to turn this into a little bit of cash. Historically, we've been doing that for centuries, so trading with other tribes, pre-contact, and then with the French, and then the English, and then eventually the Americans, with a lot of different agricultural products, maple sugar being one of them.
That was an interesting point that you made about maple sugar being so valuable, because there was no sugar. I mean, people wanted sugar, they had to figure it out.
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, when the market did drop out for our selling our maple sugar was directly related to the sugarcane plantations that came into existence in slavery. Yeah. So the market was flooded with cheap sugar produced by slave labor in the Caribbean and in the southern United States. So, you know, that affected some of our trading commodities. But today still, the market is still strong for maple syrup. People don't use maple sugar too much anymore. We created sugar because it was easy to store.
Yeah.
Practical.
Yeah.
We're talking with David Manuel today. We're learning about the sugar bush. We're learning about the economics of it and what he'll be teaching later today. So, David, does that mean, so if you were thinking of it, part of what you'll teach, do you have to, you know, tap hundreds and hundreds of trees in order for it to be economic?
You have to put out a lot of taps to make, you know, a decent amount of money. I'll give an example. Prior to getting employed, I was kind of in a tough spot one year, and I put every red cent into my sugar bush equipment, and it was a roll of the dice. And I came back really flush. 5-6 weeks later, I was able to catch up on all my bills, fix my truck, and take my wife out to dinner. I can't ask for any more than that. And it has done that each and every year. It's not a year-long activity. I cannot produce enough value-added product out of my sugar bush to sustain me for a year. But I can do that and then move on to the next activity. And that's what I teach here in Red Lake. And that's what I'm a partner in partnership with Economic Development Board Directions, Oshki Majitada, and the list goes on. We have so much help from the other departments here in Red Lake in developing this project. I and Sharon James and Michael Van Horn and Brandon Nettle and others are a team that are building our agricultural future by training tribal members. We have a man who has a horticultural degree, Rick Abrahamson, an incredible teacher who's starting his second year. And we have just started our second year of training tribal members. We have a whole new batch of people coming in that just started last Monday. We are all very excited. We're looking at what they call the market garden concept. When we transition into spring and we start seeding our trays and prepare for the garden season, we have a farmer's market up here. We've had it for 3 years, maybe four now. And that has been building every year. Every year we've had more and more customers. We were out there last year wearing masks. because that's how important our mission is. It's about growing local, healthy food for our tribal members. Bottom line, we've also, you know, done business in Bemidji and other places as well. We sold our vegetables at Harmony Foods Co-op, but we want to kind of focus here and making our local produce and fruit available.
David, I'm curious. I know that sap and sugar maple, and of course wild rice, but traditionally, what other sort of things were grown, and either marketed or just grown for personal use?
Well, Red Lake historically has been a strong producer of agricultural products. And I think we covered this the first time I came in interview about the tonnage of potatoes that went to Bemidji in 1876, I believe, 110 tons.
Wow.
Also, how many corn? I don't know the exact tonnage of that, maple sugar. And I believe you mentioned one linear mile of rush mats. We were an agricultural powerhouse. When the logging industry moved north, we were the ones who supplied the food to Bagley and Clearbrook and Somme and Kelly and other points as well. Because they were loggers, they weren't farmers, they weren't, you know, I mean, they needed food. We were able to provide it. We provided a surplus. We did that with crops that were adapted to our climate, squashes. And I'm really not sure where we got our potatoes. I'm really perplexed by that. I've been researching that. I don't know if they came up through ancient, what we call trade pathways, or if they, in fact, did what the potato always does and has traveled back and forth from Europe to South America and back again.
Interesting.
I don't know the answer to that. But anyway, the focus really is Sugarbush, but also training people how to do it, how to make a few bucks and put some jugs of syrup away, enjoy their breakfasts.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to mine. Are there signs that you use to know when the season's done, the sap season?
Oh, yeah. I'm just so exhausted, and I find myself flat down in a mud puddle. It's over. It is a genuine labor of love. I don't have much in mechanization or tubing. I'm out there carrying buckets, and I got a evaporator made out of old fuel oil tank. You know, I got a couple of modern stainless steel pans. But it's very rudimentary and crude and out in the open, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
David, is there anything online where people can go to get more information on the work you're doing there at Red Lake?
We do have a website, Four Directions Development. You can Google that.
Okay.
.org. I'm not sure. .org or .com.
Okay.
And then we have our Get to Ganake page on Facebook. Those two are kept pretty up to date in what we're doing in ag anyway.
Well, we thank you so much for your time today, Miigwech, and we'll check in again soon and see what else you got cooking up there.
Giigawabamin. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, David. That was delightful.
Take care, John.
Thank you. You too. I hope we can meet face to face one day.
We will.